Welcome back, everybody, to your favorite podcast. It's the We Are Adult Show, brought to you by Hoppyhead Productions, sponsored by the coronavirus, keeping you inside so you can listen to this shitty podcast. I'm your host, Sean, other host, Danny. How are you, man?
You know, I think it's pretty ironic that we're sponsored by a product that we don't get to take advantage of.
Yeah. Fair enough.
I'm, you know, working 6 days a week. 60 hours. It's fun.
Working for the man.
65 hours, actually. But yeah, it's fun.
Yeah. It's crazy because we just got in, like, a bunch of new face masks and a bunch of just these chemical sprayers for, like, sanitizing. So it's, like, our outbound volume, like, tripled, like, once it came in. It was, like, fun. Because, you know, we have staffing for the volume just to triple.
Exactly. And that's kind of the way it is for me. Like, you know, thanks to Amazon, we went from being Monday through Friday deliveries and then having Saturday being expensive to, like, Monday through Saturday deliveries, but they weren't anticipating the rise in volume, so they only have like two part-timers on a Tuesday through Saturday schedule in the area that I work. And so
wait, they really thought that, you know, Amazon wouldn't just continue to pump the volume through with Saturday delivery?
I get, well, they were counting on people coming in and double shifting and making extra money. But it's not mandatory, and you know, who wants to go in and be forced to work like 8 hours plus on a day that's, you know, only supposed to be like a handful of hours?
Yeah, I think it's idiotic that they really thought that they could just have that much overtime, people overtime that long.
Yeah.
You fools! Fools!
So, speaking of sponsored by the coronavirus, the beer I'm drinking today is actually a result of COVID-19. It's the brainchild of a brewery that's based in New York City, and then they decided to open a second location, and they lied about where it is, kind of.
Because it's not in New York, it's in some other part.
Well, no, like, the second location is Northern California, so, like, they say it's in Rochester, and I looked at the name of the city, and I didn't recognize it, so I asked, you know, friend of the show, Manthing, because he lives in a small town, but he works in Rochester, so he's like, 15, 20-minute drive or whatever to Rochester. It's like you driving to – when you lived in Toledo, it was like you driving to Michigan.
Yeah.
Kind of a thing.
Yeah.
So I asked him, I was like, wait, where is this city? And he's like, dude, that's kind of far from me. And he's like, really? I was like, really? Because the other half is saying that they're in Rochester, and that's the city that their brewery's in. And he's like, dude, that's like in the boonies. Like, we don't go out there.
The real estate's cheap. Cheap, cheap, cheap.
So I'm guessing that'd be like if a brewery in like San Bernardino or Redlands is like, we're an LA brewery.
Well, NASCAR does it. Why can't a brewery do it?
Well, I guess technically Ontario or Fontana is LA County-ish.
What?
I don't. Well, maybe not Fontana. No, you're right. No, Fontana isn't. I know for a while, like, the Ontario airport was like owned by the same people that owned LAX for some reason.
Jeez.
But I mean, I guess that's for sponsorship and money, because it's like, that's how we got like the Los Angeles Angels of Anaheim.
Yeah. It's just very terrible with the naming of LA. Everything is LA to everybody outside of people that live in Southern California.
Right. Well, like, if you go outside of California, they know, like, there's like San Diego, LA, or San Francisco. Yeah. That's it.
That's it. Which one do you live next to?
Which one?
Neither.
And it's like, you know, I was reading on Reddit, and they're talking about how people who come in from other countries thinking they can, like, drive, like, you know, from one place to another because they see on a map it seems close, and everything in Europe is close. So, like, they were talking about somebody from Europe visited, and they were in Philadelphia, and they wanted to go visit Pittsburgh on a day trip.
That's pretty impressive.
Well, they wanted to, but they're like, so if we leave now, we'll get there at this time. And then, I mean, unless you want to drive all night, then we're going to have to get a hotel. And even if we leave, like, after lunch, we're still not going to get home until after dinner. Mm-hmm. It's like an 8-hour drive or something. That's like, or, you know, when I told my wife that I was going to go out there to New York, visit Man-Thing, she's like, you're going to get to go to New York City? And I'm like, it's closer for us in down in Southern California to drive to San Francisco than it is for him to drive to New York City. It's like an 8.5-9 hour drive for him to get to San Francisco. I mean, New York City.
Jeez. I could get to New York City faster than he does.
Yes. Yes, you can, actually.
Oh, good times.
But anyway, so this beer is called All Together.
Mm-hmm.
It's a double dry hopped hazy IPA is what it's supposed to be. And so what they did was other half put together the recipe. They did the can art and stuff, and they're basically like, all right, they open sourced the recipe and they made the artwork and the name public.
Mm-hmm.
So all you had to do was just get, and they said that our goal is to provide you with the tools to make the beer at the lowest possible cost.
Mm-hmm.
We asked that a portion of the proceeds to go to support hospitality professionals in your community. The rest should go to keeping you in business to weather this storm.
Mm-hmm.
For us, proceeds will go to the Restaurant Workers Community Foundation. As much as this is about raising money, this is also an exercise in awareness that local communities can understand how daily life has been upended for those that rely on social gatherings to make a living.
So you're saying in like another month or so, we're going to be talking about a news article about people selling this beer and then keeping all the money as profits and not donating, like the fireman cause?
Well, and here's the thing, too, is there's no oversight with this one, basically, because at least with the resilience, they're like, all right, make the beer and then give it back to this fund, then send it to this account, because that's where all the money's going to go. And once we have all the money, then we'll distribute it where it needs to go.
Mm-hmm.
This is more a thing of like, keep what you need and donate whatever you can to hospitals.
Keep what you need. Wink, wink, wink.
Right. And so the can that I got is from a brewery in San Diego called North Park Beer Company.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's got a nice, like, haze to it, but it's a little more, it's like a hoppier. So I don't know how hoppy the other half is.
Mm-hmm.
I know I've seen people that do like beer review. Like, there's one guy that has a beer review YouTube channel.
Mm-hmm.
He put in his Instagram story, he's like, hey, I'm trying to get trades together so I can get as many of these as I can from different around the country. Hit me up. So it'd be kind of interesting to see, because I know I had like 3 or 4 different versions of the Resilience.
Okay.
And so, like, some of them were more hoppy than others. And so I'm sure that's kind of the same thing here. I'm sure some are more juicy and hazy, and some are more, like, West Coast-ish. This one seems like a good blend. It's definitely got – you can smell the hops on it. You can – the it's very, like, hop-forward, but not in a bad way. It doesn't taste like Pine Sol or a palate wrecker.
Good old palate. Dude, you know what beer I miss? The original Stone Ruination IPA. Because 2.0 just does not taste the same.
They ruinated it?
Well, no, it was basically... you're a bastard.
You're just going to over that, aren't you?
I should have just kept going. It's like in war when you get shot and you just keep fighting instead of acknowledging the gunshot that you just took. You just keep going.
Yes. like the hero of an action movie where he's like stabbed, but he still has to fight the boss.
Yeah. Yeah. Somehow he beats the boss after being basically beaten up, destroyed by the 4 lieutenants.
Yes. That was what that joke did to you. That was like all 4 of the lieutenants just like pummeling you. All right, carry on.
Why is my life so hard? Why do I do this? These are the things that make me drink.
It's a win-win situation. If we didn't do the podcast, you wouldn't have at least you can talk about what you're drinking.
That is true. But anyways, so the Ruination. So they couldn't get a hold of the hops anymore, and so they didn't want to just throw any other hops in there. So they stopped making it, but they came out with like a second version that's supposed to taste pretty close to it, but it just doesn't. It's just not the same. Makes me sad. I like to rub it in my girlfriend's face that she can't have the original Ruination. Because she does like Ruination 2.0. I don't even be a bastard.
What's that?
I said don't be a bastard.
Too late. Because you're just like, rub it in her face, and I'm like, wait, what? Rub what in her face? Oh, the Ruination.
A bottle.
Yes. Also, like, you know, reading more of the information on the website for the Altogether,
mm-hmm.
like, they have, like, if you can go on the website, anybody, like, and get download the recipe.
Mm-hmm.
And they even give a company, they give the website or whatever to where you can download the art files to print them out.
Mm-hmm.
And actually there's a, and they even give a name of a company called Blue Label Packaging Company that will print the labels at cost.
Oh, wow.
So, let's see what the, I'm trying to, recipe. Why does it have to be so hard?
Did they publish the recipe? Can I go and make this beer?
Yes. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, so it's like the yeast is either London Ale or Chico,
mm-hmm.
and then they have the mash temp, the grain bill, the hop schedule. So the hop schedule is Columbus or Bittering, hop of your choice to 10 IBU at 60 minutes, or to 50 minutes at 50 IBU at 60 minutes. Depending on which of the yeast you use, I guess.
Yeah.
Then they have Mosaic, 2 ounces of Mosaic in the Whirlpool, 1 ounce of Cascade in the Whirlpool, 2 ounces of Simcoe dry hop, 2 ounces of Citra dry hop, 4 ounces of Mosaic dry hop, and 2 ounces of Cascade dry hop.
That's a really expensive beer. When you're dropping ounces of hops, it's an expensive beer.
They're not making a 5 gallon homebrew batch either, Sean.
True. Maybe I'll have to do some recalculations.
Because they use for the grain bill, they use of the two row 10.5 pounds of two row.
Mm-hmm.
Flaked oats is 1.5 pounds, and Brice Carapils is 0.5 pound.
Mm. Give it that sweet, sweet body.
Yes. So, and then it's like talking about how they have very soft water profile in Brooklyn. So for the New England IPA, they recommend chloride additions to stay under 300 parts per million of chloride. And then you want to stay under 150 if you want the WIC W West Coast IPA.
Gotcha.
So, yeah. So they do have a recipe for West Coast or East Coast, depending on how you want to go.
Mm, fair enough.
So, but yeah, so that's if you go to altogether.beer.
Stand together.
Right now. Over beer.
Over Danny.
No, you don't want to do that. No matter how much beer you drink. But yeah, so they have a couple of different examples of different breweries that have done their logo, like their own artwork, I guess, options, or there's artwork options. So
mm-hmm.
yeah, it's very like involved. All on, like I said, all on the website, altogether.beer.
Nice.
So what are you drinking, Sean? That's not very important.
Well, I was hoping, very hoping, to be drinking the Margarita Gose that I brewed, but unfortunately, it does not taste very good. There is something going on in the beer. So I carved it last night, and I had some sips. It was had a very good salt and like lime taste, but it was leaving a very like a very unpleasant bitter taste on the back. On the back half of the taste. Like, after you took a couple drinks, it was kind of like that flavor, that off flavor, just kind of was, like, erupting. It was, like, kind of took over as, like, the main focal point. So I'm not sure what. It didn't taste like it was infected, though.
Like, it just tasted off.
Yeah, it just tasted off. It had some kind of weird. So I don't know if it was from like the wood that I ate that I put in there, because it didn't. Because I think it had a little bit of a woodsy taste to it. It had, but it because it didn't really taste like tequila. Didn't really have like a strong tequila flavor at all. It was very, you couldn't notice it at all. But I know that was kind of like a weird last minute like idea on how to get it in there. So probably more research needs to be done on that piece. But yeah, a little little disappointing that we're gonna have to you know, pour this one out.
Can I make a suggestion for your next batch?
If you're gonna say don't fuck it up,
No. Okay. It's a constructive idea. Gotcha. In my mind.
Yes.
I'm not sure how constructive it is in reality, but in my mind it seems like big brain energy right here, Sean.
All
right. So instead of like, you know, soaking the tequila, you know, the wood in tequila and trying to get all fancy with your addition of tequila,
mm-hmm.
What if you just made the gosa, did the lime and the salt, and then when you poured yourself a frothy cup of your lime salt gosa, you just poured yourself a shot of tequila, dropped it in the shot, and pounded it like a car bomb kind of idea.
That would actually be, that sounds actually pretty interesting. I wonder how well that would go. I feel like it would go fairly well because you don't have to you don't really have to do anything crazy for it. It's just more straight. It's like you said, like the Irish car method, where Irish car bomb method, where you're gonna get all the profiles because you're making more of a mixed drink versus trying to like brew it all together.
Right. Or if you don't want to like pound it, you could just, you know, put the either float the tequila on top or pour the tequila at the bottom and then pour the beer over it.
Mm-hmm. No, I think it's an interesting taste for the next time I try it.
Plus, it takes away one less random variable in the brewing process because you don't know like what if the wood inside the wood is, has like a random yeast or something in there that our alcohol didn't kill.
Yeah, because typically when you're aging the wood in hard alcohol, like it usually kills anything that is hiding in there because of how high the alcohol is. That's why, like, you even with like vanilla bean, like they say to like put it in bourbon for a couple days just to let it kill off any kind of random things on it before putting it in.
That makes sense. But yeah, so that was my at least seemingly a helpful contribution to your beer. I don't. It was a lot better than Get Goods, wasn't it?
That is true. Get Goods Club wasn't the most constructive feedback.
Mine was just like, let's get fucked up on tequila and beer.
That is true.
To make it even easier, you could just pour the tequila in the shot glass,
mm-hmm.
Pour the beer in a shot glass, pour the tequila in your mouth hole, and then pour beer in your mouth hole all of it as a chaser.
Exactly.
It just seems like a lot easier and more fun.
True. Well, yeah, definitely a lot easier. I don't know about the more fun, but definitely a lot easier. I guess it would be more fun from you're going to be drinking a lot.
Yeah, that's the point. it's a hobby, not a problem.
Exactly. So I ended up pulling a bottle out of the old Keezer. So from Nickel Brook Brewing Company up there in the Canuck land. Where is it? Where do they say they're from? I forget. I know it's from Canada. I just can't find. Oh, Burlington, Ontario. So this is their Pineapple Uber Sour Beer. Coming in at 3.9% ABV. So not, doesn't have a sour rating on here. So I've been taking a couple, I'm halfway through the bottle right now. Honestly, it goes very well together. It has a nice sour taste, but you could get the sweet pineapple flavoring, and it helps balance the overall sour taste. So, like, you don't get overly sour, and you're not getting, like, an giant pineapple taste, but it's just a very just pleasant drinking beer.
Nice.
So I would say it's definitely worth the grab. I don't remember it being really expensive either when I picked it up. It wasn't like it was, it's not like a fancy aged in wine barrels and this and that kind of beer. I think it was on the lower scale, so definitely something worth getting, especially if you're just looking for like an easy sour beer and something nothing, and you're not looking to chase ABV, and you're not trying to get necessarily like shit faced.
Exactly. Yeah, you know, it's funny. Like part of me kind of felt bad last week after like just basically shitting all over the beers that I had.
Mm-hmm.
And because, you know, when I doffed off to them, I was like, I didn't buy them to make fun of the beer. I bought them because I actually wanted them to be good.
Yeah.
Right? But then I was watching a recording of another beer podcast. They've been called The Four Brewers.
Mm-hmm.
I had you listen to an episode or two when I went out there and we did our trip up to like Kalamazoo and wherever else in Michigan. But anyways, they did a wheat beer recording for this upcoming episode.
Yes.
And one of the guys, they each picked like three different wheat beers.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the guys picked Hangar 24's orange wheat. And they weren't very kind about it. And I'm like, you know, like if a brewery like kind of strays from their initial goal or whatever, their initial like vision of being a fun place to go have beer to just like, I guess, changing their flavors or being more corporate or I don't know. But yeah, they were pretty like harsh. So I guess I'm like, I guess I wasn't that bad compared to them.
True. I don't even remember the orange wheat being all that fantastic, though. Even in the early days, I wasn't like a huge fan of it.
Right. But it was definitely like a gateway beer for people.
Yeah.
A lot. That's like their gateway beer. And at one point, it was like everywhere. Like you can go to like pretty much any bar, restaurant, you know, sporting event. You can go to like Angel Stadium, Dodger Stadium, and they all had orange wheat on tap.
Yeah.
Versus, and then again, and they're trying, he's like, did the bubble burst on the wheat beers or did something replace it? And one of the guys was like, something replaced it, the hazy IPAs.
Mm.
The haze boys became the wheat boys became haze boys.
Yeah, you don't see a lot of wheat beers anymore.
I mean, like, what's it called? Like, admit 21st Amendment has one. And like one of the guys had a beer on there and they're like, well, duh, that makes sense because it's literally in the name. But Berliner Weisses are wheat beers.
Mm-hmm.
Because Weiss is German for wheat.
That's fair. I was just trying to think of when I was at a few different tap houses. Like it's just not.
No, the IPA has definitely, and especially the New England IPA, definitely replaced.
Yeah, and I think now that we have, I think sours have kind of started to come and take over a little bit of the beer scene as well.
Yeah, the Gosas and the Berliner Weisses have replaced just the straight American wheat.
Mm-hmm.
But
it's all right. It's like fashion. It comes back around.
All right, everything. Like, because they're, you know, they always talk, at least amongst the industry, what beers they drink, and they usually drink, like, Pilsners or even, like, MGD or Miller High Life. Actually, not MGD, but, like, Miller High Life or whatever, like, that's like their go-to, like, I've been brewing all these heavy beers all day. I just want something that tastes like nothing, but is refreshing.
Yeah.
Oh, man. So, you know, with all this COVID-19 changing the beer world, all these hype breweries that used to have people stand in line, like Monkish and Great Notion and 450 North in Indiana, and there's countless other ones, they can't have people stand in line anymore. And so everybody's been kind of switching to the bottle logic method of through Eventbrite,
mm-hmm.
where you have to like, you buy your beers and then go pick it up at a later date. And there's a Instagram page I follow called Worst Beer Blog. And he just basically, for his own amusement, because people are like, why'd you post this? He's like, I just thought it was funny. Like that's his answer for a lot of the things that even if it necessarily doesn't have anything to do with beer. Or if it's like vaguely related to beer, Yeah, I just thought this was funny, or I just wanted to basically troll you into starting a conversation about this. But, you know, it seems like, again, people that aren't used to the bottle logic method of Eventbrite, and like, you know, back, especially back in the day when, like, a couple years ago, you know, when they were making less versions of their beers, like Fundamental Observation, you know, that would sell out in like a minute or two on the website, right? And maybe, like, if people had it in their cart but didn't check out fast enough, like, and it would get released back into the pool, you, because they would tell you, it's like, refresh, like, get your refresh fingers ready, is what they would say, and, like, jump in, because they're like, it's going to sell out fast. So, like, Monkish, one of them, like had a beer release from Monkish, was the first one they posted, and people are like, I go there all the time, I spend this much money, and it was sold out, like, you owe me something. Or people are like, I just live around the corner, I why can't I just walk there and stand in line? Why do these people that normally don't get these beers get to have these beers? They're not as loyal to you as I am.
Yeah.
Or people, and the other thing, like, with Eventbrite, like, if you put it in your cart, they don't hold it, actually.
Oh, wow.
So, like, if you have something in your cart and you're taking too long to check out, people, it's being sold under you.
Oh, because, like, you're trying to buy multiple things, and so people are just buying, like, one and out, like, one and done, one and done, one and done.
Or they just have, like, their, and, like, for me, like, when I, my computer has all my information stored in it, so I just have to click one button, and all the boxes are filled in. And then I click buy.
Fair enough. It's not like the old person, like, trying to go through and type it in, everything, one finger type.
Yes. So, but yeah, just, like, the amount of, like, posts of people, like, well, if you knew people were going to, if this many people are going to want this beer, why didn't you make more? And it's, like, in the post, it's, like, leading up to the sale, they're like, this is a very low-yield beer. Just know that it's going to sell out. And so, like, the most recent one was Great Notion. They had a beer, and you could – it was basically a thing of they're going to do online sales first, and then whatever didn't sell out, at a certain point, they were going to allow people who were in line to get it. And so they had over 100 people show up standing in line early, hoping they could get the beer instead of buying it online, and it's all of it sold out online, and they were all like, well, we stood out here, what do we get?
Nothing.
Yeah, we told you it's gonna probably sell out online. Buy it, you should have bought it online.
You lose. Good day.
Exactly. So, you know, and then the argument with, like, Bottle Logic was, you know, when beers were selling out too fast, it was like, this is bullshit, they need to make more, bots are buying all the beer, just all these different excuses. And then when a beer release, when a beer takes longer to sell out, you know, the post on it's like, oh, it's already been 30 minutes and this beer hasn't sold out. It must be horrible. Nobody must want it. It must suck.
That's kind of like some very weird logic.
Yes.
Or, you know, they just have a lot of it.
Right. There, it was a cheaper beer to make, or an easier beer or something. Because, like, you know, even like the when I was doing the Week of Logic and getting all their beers every month, you know, I was talking to some of the guys that I would see all the time. And I was like, telling them, I was like, yeah, this one actually, I was surprised this one was available, like, for so long. And they're like, yeah, because it's not a stout. It was like a strong ale.
Yeah.
And all of our stouts sell out immediately, but, like, anything that's not a stout takes longer to sell. And because, and it's like, oh, that's right, because people back on the East Coast, they don't want to trade for non-stouts. Like, the secondary market isn't very high.
Dang the black market, man. They're just right? Not good.
Oh, man. So, I've been, like, you know, I mentioned him earlier, the guy that he wanted all the, all together. His YouTube channel is, Let's Have Some Beer Show.
Mm-hmm.
And so, he got sent, a media kit from this company, and then another podcast called Dipsomaniac.
Mm-hmm.
Where they kind of talk about, like, one strain of weed, and then they drink a couple beers throughout and they talk about the beer. But they both had did reviews for this company called CBD oil. So it's basically like CBD, but it comes in like a shot form, in a way where you add it to your whatever you're drinking, like, and they suggest like beer or wine or liquor or whatever, but then if you go on their website, it says you can just pretty, you can add it to anything you can drink.
Oh.
Whether it's like, you know, soda, juice, whatever. But, and so, through them, through, Let's Have Some Beer, they had a, code where you could get their, trials, a sample pack. So it's just like a one use, one shot of each of their three dosages. They have like a 30, milligram, a 60 milligram, and a 100 milligram mm-hmm. of CBD oil. And so I bought it because I, you know, hoping maybe it would, like, I was thinking about it, and I was hoping maybe it would help me sleep, especially like when I have to go to bed at like 6 o'clock at night and wake up at 10 o'clock in the, at night.
Wanna get high?
Well, that's the thing though. It's, there's no, THC in it. So it's not that much fun.
No, it's not.
And so I had tried the 30 ounce a couple weeks ago, and I didn't really notice anything. And then yesterday, it was like 11 o'clock. It was like 10:30 at night, and I wasn't tired at all. And I'm like, dude, if I don't go to sleep soon, then it's just going to throw off my whole schedule.
Yeah.
So I decided to pour a beer from there's a collaboration between Local Craft Brewery and the Beer Thug Life. And it was like a hazy IPA that was like 8%.
Mm-hmm.
And so I poured the big dose in, the 100 milligram.
Yeah.
And about the time I finished the beer, I just kind of, I was like, went from being like, wow, I'm awake, I'm never going to sleep, to, yeah, I should probably head up to bed, like, now. Now, so I don't know, like, if it was because I drank an 8 ounce, you know, double hazy IPA by itself, and I, you know, went to work and was just, even though I'd taken naps and was awake, maybe I was just like wound up but was tired. Or, you know, I like to say, you know, the placebo effect is a hell of a drug.
True.
So I don't know if it was just like me thinking, it's like, well, this is in there. So, but I definitely fell asleep pretty fast last night when I went to bed. Like, usually it takes me a little while lying in bed, and like, I have to like focus my mind to stop running around.
Mm. Well, stop thinking about me then.
It is so hard. 'Cause you're always on my mind.
Woo!
But yeah, initially, like, so I told my wife about it because I didn't want to, like, you know, do anything behind her back. And she went from, like, well, I don't know about this. And then she's like, I told her, she's like, well, that I took it. She's like, well, how'd you sleep? And I slept. It's like, I slept well. And she's like, well, maybe you should try at least ordering a full dose once and giving it a couple more tries before you,
dismiss it,
both either declare it a failure or a success.
Mm-hmm.
But it didn't seem that expensive, but I was actually kind of surprised that she was on board. But then she was like, so there's no, like, it's just the medicine side, it's not going to get you high. And I was like, no, I'm like, I don't even think, even though like medicinal, even like, well, recreational marijuana is legal in the state of California,
mm-hmm.
I still think it's like a federal offense to mail it. And so I ordered the stuff and it came through the mail, so I don't, you know.
Yeah.
And so she's like, so I'll have to order some when they have, like, maybe give out a discount code or something.
Fair enough.
They have, like, random sales. Speaking of random sales, Sean, a couple weeks ago we talked about the people upset about the PlayStation Plus offerings.
Did somebody say, hold my beer?
Dude, so yeah, so I was reading about this month's Xbox Gold offerings, and one of the games I haven't downloaded yet, but I think I'm going to because it seems pretty interesting, is a... it's an indie game, but it's like a D&D type game.
Mm-hmm.
But you're not, that makes it seem like you're not necessarily playing the game, but it seems like you're a person playing D&D.
Mm-hmm.
So like, there's a dungeon master telling the story and you roll dice and stuff like that.
And you have to like choose what you want to do.
Yeah. As opposed to like actually going through and like punching and stabbing things.
You're rolling dice. Maybe I'll download that one.
Yeah. It seems pretty cool. But then, so I was reading the comments, you know, the thread on it, and a bunch of people were, dude, the Xbox Gold games always suck. Like, look at PlayStation Plus. They got Uncharted, and they got this, and they got this. Like, PlayStation Plus members always get way better games than us.
That's not what they were saying recently.
Right, and it's the same month. It's not even like just like a couple months ago. This was literally like a couple weeks ago.
Jesus.
Yeah, it's definitely a case of, you know, the Xbox One is way better than the PlayStation 4 in every way except for the games you get for free. And then PlayStation comes back and is like, no way, the PlayStation totally kicks the Xbox One's ass, and you guys also get better games.
I really do like the PlayStation's format, though. Like, it's very easy to navigate and find your games and stuff like that. I don't know. I'm not a big fan of the Xbox, their user interface.
It used to be a lot easier to find the Xbox Gold games, because they used to be, like, front and center. Like, you would log on, and it would be on the welcome screen.
Mm-hmm.
Xbox Gold, get your games here. Now you got to kind of navigate through the store a little more.
Yeah.
Versus, like, the PlayStation Store, it used to be harder, and then they added a tab. Because before you used to, like, find the game. Like, you was like, oh, wait, this is one of the free games. Okay, now you have to search that game and then go to the page versus now they have the tab of PlayStation Plus.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it is kind of weird how they switched. But then Microsoft had a presentation about their upcoming new console, which I don't even know what it's called. I don't even know if they know what it's going to be called because their naming convention is weird. The Xbox 720.
I thought it was Xbox One X.
No, that's the
I don't know.
Isn't that the Pro version?
Is this some Microsoft thing that I'm too PlayStation to understand?
Right. Or like, is this a console thing that some people are too PC to understand? But I just wanted to bring up one thing that was kind of funny from there was that they kept talking about how like they weren't just going to have rendered games on there, that they were going to have actual gameplay. And so I didn't get a chance to watch it, but I came home from work the day of it, and I was reading about it on Reddit, and everything that people were saying, out of everything people were saying, the only thing they agreed on was, where the fuck was the gameplay? Because they were like playing games with like first-person shooters and stuff, and there was like no HUD, no reticule.
Yeah.
And there was like you know, E3, sometimes they'll like have a person actually on stage playing the game, yeah, whether or not they're actually playing the game or just pretending to.
Pushing buttons
to a video. At least there's like the symbol, like they're pretending to have somebody play. This one, there was like nobody on stage playing. It was just video screens.
Mm-hmm.
But like, they're like, yeah, we promise we will. It's not going to all be just rendered graphics and videos. We're going to have actual gameplay. Mm-hmm. Except we don't have any gameplay.
Yeah, we'll see. Doubt.
So last week, I kind of got sidetracked about the whole cost of like the HBO app streaming service.
Yes.
And we were kind of talking about DC. I just wanted to mention, and I forgot to, my whole point of like bringing up HBO with the DC is that it's been announced for a while, but HBO Max and DC Universe are basically combining.
Really?
Yes.
Are they because they're owned by the same people?
I don't think so. I don't know if Warner Brothers owns HBO.
They're just coming into a partnership.
And I wonder if it's going to be kind of like how Disney Plus has Hulu. So if they want to put more like adult things, or at least things that aren't made for kids, they can put it on Hulu and DC. But then again, I guess DC doesn't care because they have the Harley Quinn show, which, from what I've heard, is at least worth doing the free trial to watch.
Interesting. I was gonna say I don't need to pay for another streaming service. I keep saying that, but you know.
Yeah. But again, the cool thing about the DC TV streaming service is it also gives you access to every DC comic ever written.
That is true.
So, but they're supposed to, like, the first show they announced that they're going to put on HBO, but it's a DC property, is they're doing a Green Lanterns show.
Nice.
So hopefully it's not like just like focused on like the Earth Green Lanterns or just Hal Jordan. Like they actually take the plural seriously and like, you know, make it more universe driven or
we'll see.
Something. And how come Earth has like 6 human lanterns at this point now?
Because we the best.
Apparently,
there's more than 3.
Yeah, because there's 4 or 5. I don't know how many there are. I know they added a girl, Jessica Cruz.
She's a Green Lantern.
Yes.
Got you.
And she also suffers from, like, anxiety.
Of course.
Yes. So, at least it's not douchebaggery like Hal Jordan did in the beginning, where he was just, like, banging everything.
Well, bang, with okay. His... Damn.
So, you recommended we started watching an anime, Sean.
I was actually, somebody in the clan recommended this anime to me, and I was like,
You know, you need to come up with a new way to say that, dude, as a white dude.
What?
You need to come up as a white man that lived in the Midwest for a chunk of time. You need to come up with a different way of saying someone in the clan recommended something to me.
In my nerdy Destiny clan.
Is that a clan with a K or a C, Sean?
A C! A strong C! Anyways, my Destiny clanmate from Sweden, or someplace like that, recommended a anime called Tower of God, which is a Crunchyroll original anime. And really, it's kind of, it's, I enjoy it quite a bit. It is about a, the main character kind of hasn't really told and doesn't really know, like, his past life, or they just really haven't said anything. All you really know is he's trying to climb this tower full of challenges to get to the top so he could see this girl again. And obviously it's a competition with other people, and they have their own reasons, and every kind of, as it continues to get, they climb the tower, supposedly, like, it's going to get harder and harder, and less people are going to be able to go through. So right now I feel like, because they only have 7 episodes, they've really made it to where now we're in the vulnerability stage. Like, you know, they introduce the character, there's some conflict, there's a couple other, you know, main secondary characters, but then there's all these other characters that everybody's happy and go-go with. I feel like it's, like, setting it up to, like, now it's getting to, like, we're going to start getting, things are going to start, I think, escalating in the back half of this anime. And honestly, like, I really don't want to watch this become a 12-episode anime because it's so good, and I see the and how they tell the story. It feels like there could be a lot more great storytelling in a certain way if this is going to be a 24-episode anime versus, like, is this going to just speed up real quick and be done in 12 episodes?
Right. Like, or are they going to, like, make 12 episodes and hope to get a second season?
That is true, too.
And generally, I'm not a huge fan of, like, extended episode, like, number of episodes for a season, like 24 or 26 or whatever. Like, I like a nice, solid 12-episode season.
Mm-hmm.
But this show, like, you know, and I've mentioned before that I am just the worst when it comes to binge-watching. And so I had only watched the first 2 episodes up until yesterday. So I'm like, I'll watch a couple more just to kind of see how, if I can get close to catching up. And I ended up watching them all that was available, well, except for the newest episode. So I watched 3, 4, 5, and 6. Gotcha. And again, I only stopped because it was like 11 or 11:30 at night. So, and then this morning I had the newest, to watch the newest episode of my past life as a villain, my future life as a villainess, and Tower of God. And so my wife was downstairs, so I watched them with her.
Mm-hmm.
And she liked My Life as a Villainess. Like, as I was explaining it to her, she was like, this is a little too, like blowing my mind a little bit. And I'm like, yeah, that's because you're jumping in, like, episode 7, and there's just so much,
mm-hmm.
like, interaction between the characters and different things. It's definitely a different story, right?
Dude, that's how I feel, like, when questions were being asked, and I was like, you know, this is episode 22 or 24, right? Like, there's so much that's happened. Like, there's no right. point in jumping in.
But then, you know, when I was kind of explaining to her, I remembered the scene that I was talking about last week that I, like, had to stop the show for a second because I was laughing. So there's a scene where, like, the mom is talking to her, the main character's, like, main maid that takes care of her.
In which one?
In My Life as a Villainess.
Gotcha.
And so it's like the maid is serving breakfast and the mom's like, she's been acting weird ever since she bumped her head. And the maid's like, well, if by weird you mean she's been like treating us like human beings, then yes, she's been weird. You know? And yeah. She's like, yeah, cook. Yeah. The cook doesn't really talk to anybody, but they get along. Like, she's like, she's treating me great and this and that. And then the mom's like, well, yeah, you're right. She is a better person. It's just, and then like, as the mom's like trying to compliment her, you just hear in the, her yelling in the background, hi-ya! And the mom just like grabs, like the first time the mom just kind of like stops and like looks out the window. And then she's like, yeah, you know, she's just a great person. She's getting, becoming a better person. And then she's more kind-hearted and hi-ya! And like the mom just kind of like, you can just see her like shaking with like anger. And then the mom like yells at her out the window and they show her and she's like using the hoe to like break up the dirt. And so she's like swinging it and saying like hi-ya to like, I guess, get more strength.
Yeah. Didn't you know that's how you you do power strikes? You got to yell?
Well, I mean, if you watch women's tennis, then yes. Like, there's a comedian from years ago, he had a bit about how when he's, like, gone too long without sex, he just turns on women's tennis as he thumbs through his porn.
Wow.
Again, this was pre-Pornhub and all that stuff, when you didn't have to actually, like, just look at magazines. You could, like, see movies for free back in the day. But so I watched those, I watched the newest episode of Tower of God with her. Mm-hmm. Surprisingly, she liked Tower of God better as the show.
Really?
She liked character design. Like, one of the things that she can't seem to get past, like, they ask questions on Reddit, like, what's something that annoys you about a movie or TV show that you can't let go? Mm-hmm. And for her, it's when, like, the female voices are just, like, all high-pitched and breathy.
Yeah.
Which is almost every anime.
True. I feel like so.
I mean, that's like one of those things. I'm like, look, we're not fans of it either. It's just, it's an artistic choice that for whatever reason, people decided that's the anime voice. And then like, listening, especially like in my life as a villainist, the guys even are like, they're not high pitched, but they're like breathy. Like they take a deep breath after every sentence. What are you doing, Katarina? But like with Tower of God, though, going back to that. When the episode ended, she was like, wait, that's it? The show's over?
We're not watching a movie.
Well, no, but it seemed to fly by. Like, it seemed like it was like 10 minutes.
Yeah.
Like, the episodes go by really fast, but in a good way.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not like The Walking Dead, where it's like the first 5 or 10 minutes are amazing, and the last 5 or 10 minutes are like an amazing cliffhanger, and everything in the middle just drags the show down and it sucks. Because it's like you watch like the first 10 minutes of The Walking Dead, you're like, oh yeah, I love this show, and then like half an hour in, you're like, wait, why am I even watching this show? And then like the 45 minute mark, you're like, you know what, I think I'm just gonna stop watching this show. And then they go to commercial and they come back and shit hits the fan, and then it's like, stay tuned next week. And it's like, oh my god, dude, next week's episode, that's gonna be the one. That's gonna be the best show ever.
Are you talking about Walking Dead?
Yes. But this one, they kind of end, not cliffhangery moments, but they definitely end on moments that make you want to tune into the next week's episode.
Yeah. No, Tower of God is like, to your point, is definitely a enjoyable show right now. It has just a very interesting story, and there's still a lot of mystery and things that have not been answered yet to kind of round out the story. The other anime that I really like that I'm watching right now, which should be no surprise, but it is Love is War Season 2. I don't know if you started watching that one yet.
I didn't know Season 2 was out.
Yeah, it's on the queue, bro. Bro, you're like 6 episodes behind now.
Oh, man. I saw that on one of the anime type shops that I get emails from, that they're making a figures, the little small cutesy figures, not the pops, but the Neandroids of the dude from Love is War.
Oh, really?
Yes.
That's funny. But no, that's definitely my other, like, really top anime that I'm watching right now. I really like season one, and season two is just carrying itself so nicely. There was a spoiler tag in one of the anime memes thing that says, like, it's not gonna, like, the conclusion of, like, the story isn't, like, you know, like a typical open-ended harem style thing. So I'm really kind of like more, even like more excited to like watch this anime, like finish this season, hoping that, you know, we get the ending that we want.
Yeah. I mean, at least, I mean, our biggest fear was like, they're just going to make a second season and it was going to suck anyways. Mm-hmm. So the fact that it doesn't suck is good.
Yeah, definitely. So far, so good.
Nice. You know, speaking of things that people, at least I read online for whatever reason that people said sucked, was Post Malone and Travis Barker, and I don't know who the bassist is, but they decided to do a live stream of doing Nirvana tribute with all the money being raised going to the World Health Organization.
Mm-hmm.
And so I was like reading stuff, especially on Reddit and stuff. Like, I didn't watch any of it, and I was kind of like, I don't really care for, or I have no opinion of Post Malone necessarily.
Mm-hmm.
I know people either love him or hate him, but I'm just like, man, whatever. Like, and so, but I was reading stuff and people were kind of shitting on it on Reddit. It just seemed like the Reddit circle of hate decided to circle its wagons around this performance.
Mm-hmm.
And then somebody posted a thing on there from Dave Grohl. And I'm like, well, let's see what Dave Grohl has to say. Like, I think, like, there's only three people in history that I would probably care what they think about this performance, and one of them's dead, and two of them, you know, let's see what, and can, I haven't heard from.
Mm-hmm.
And so Dave Grohl is one of them, mm-hmm. since he was the drummer. And like, one of the complaints people were saying was that Travis Barker looked like awkward behind the drums. Like, he didn't know what he was doing, or he was having a hard time keeping the rhythm.
Yeah.
And so if anybody would know if Travis Barker was sucking, it would definitely be Dave Grohl.
Yeah.
And, you know, Dave Grohl said that he was working on something and he was getting texts like, hey, are you watching this? And he was like, no, I'm busy. And he's like, a little bit later, it's like, dude, you got to check this out. And so finally, after enough, he was like, you know what, I'm going to turn this on.
Mm-hmm.
And it was live streamed on YouTube, actually, is where it was live streamed.
Gotcha.
And all the, they have the whole full performance and on there, and then in each song broken up individually.
Okay.
So I can't remember, I sent you Breed?
Yes.
Yeah, because that's kind of one of the more, like, I guess, difficult songs that's not like Something in the Way or something mellow, like mm-hmm. Heart-Shaped Box. But yeah, Dave Grohl was like, he's like, I watched it and it was amazing. Like, people are like, well, he doesn't sound like Kurt Cobain. And it's like, it's not a cover band. It's a tribute. Like,
yeah.
It's Post Malone doing Nirvana in Post Malone style.
Yeah.
So I don't know. Like, watching this, I watched most of it, individual songs, over the course of the week. I actually liked it a lot. I thought he did a pretty good job, and I thought Travis Barker played drums like, he's Travis Barker. Like, I don't know, like, he's not bad on, he's pretty good on drums. He's all right, I guess.
He's not, what, you can't say he's a bad drummer.
No. When he's like sought after by other artists, you know, to either do guest spots or whatever, you know?
Yeah. Because
this is the first time somebody's called him up and said, hey, can you just show up for like a performance or one song.
Mm-hmm.
So what do you think of the song, at least?
Honestly, I'm just not a very big Nirvana fan, but I thought everything was played pretty well overall. The sounds, I mean, everything seemed to be very, just remember listening to like the original song. It sounded like everything was like pretty on point. Like, I don't really have any like major call outs. Like, I don't even really, like, I know who Post Malone is, but I don't like know Post Malone or any of the drama or anything, so it's kind of like, you know, I just kind of took it as, okay, here's a couple probably musicians playing tribute, and you know, it sounds fine. I'm not a big Nirvana fan anyway, so it's like, I watched it, but I wasn't like overly like, oh cool, but I could at least appreciate that, you know, it was played fairly well.
Right. And it wasn't like he, like, was mocking the songs anyway, or, like, any glaring mistakes.
Exactly.
Yeah, I don't know. Like, it's like kind of like the Guy Fieri hate. It's just like, it was cool to hate on him for a while, and now you kind of feel like a dick because he's already raised like $20 million to give restaurant workers that are out of work because of COVID-19.
Yeah, wasn't he like one of the ones up in California too, like feeding firefighters on the front line and stuff?
Firefighters and people that were displaced. Like, he just like, because he got displaced too, so the shelter that he was at, he just got a bunch of food and started cooking and feeding everybody there.
Yeah, it's kind of, it's funny to, I forget, like, he actually can cook food.
Right. Like, he's a pretty legit cook. Like, that's, he won his way onto Food Network.
Yeah.
And so part of it was personality, because they're not going to put somebody that sucks as a human being on the, you know?
Yeah.
And, but it's funny, because it's like, look at his hair, and he puts his sunglasses on the back of his head. Dude, that guy's a giant piece of shit.
Dude, 90s called, they want their hair dye back.
Right. But you also don't, what you also don't hear is the fact that, you know, between his two shows, he has a Guy's Grocery Games and Diners, Drive-Ins, and Dives.
Mm-hmm.
There's a Make-A-Wish family. Not just a kid. Like, a lot of people do, like, where they'll have, like, the Make-A-Wish kid.
Mm-hmm.
But he's like, dude, they have siblings, and, like, the siblings have to deal with this, too. Like, they have to help take care of their sibling. They have to just deal with the parents being gone or being stressed out. Their life is affected, too. And he's like, I don't want them to feel... And then the kid, you know, shows up and gets all this cool stuff. And then they get left out.
Yeah.
So they like every set he has a Make-A-Wish family on there.
Gotcha.
And then like, you know, anybody that's ever like been on like, not I'm sure there's a handful of people. Just like everything else on the internet, you can have some crazy opinion and find somebody that agrees with you.
Mm-hmm.
But almost everybody's like, look, like he shows up and he's like, are you guys prepared to be slammed? Like in about a month when the show airs, like be ready. It's coming.
Yeah.
Like, Diners, Drive-Ins, and Dives is national advertising.
Yes.
For a place that could probably barely even afford to advertise locally.
Correct.
You know, and he's not asking anything out of it. He's not like, hey, bro, remember that time when I showed up to your restaurant?
Yeah.
So, I don't know. It's just funny that, you know, people that try to do good or just be themselves get shat on because it's not the way that the people think that that's, you know.
Mm-hmm.
You're different. I hate you. So before like the shit hit the fan this week, I had time to watch a couple movies. So I watched this one movie called Hotel Artemis. It's Jodie Foster is the main character and Dave Bautista. They played a doctor and a nurse. Like Bautista's the nurse actually at this hotel in L.A., like, set in this dystopian future that seems semi-plausible because...
We're talking about The Wrestler, right?
Yes.
I heard it, and it, like, you know, I felt like you threw something, hit me in the head, and it fell down, and I was like, does not compute.
Like, you're sitting there, and something, like, somebody threw something, and hit you in the back of the head, and you're looking around to see who threw it, and then you're like, what hit me? Right, that?
Yeah, I'm just like, wait a minute, did I just hear Bautista, the doctor?
No, he's the nurse.
Okay, my bad. The
Jodie Foster's the doctor.
Got you.
But then part of his job as being the nurse, he's also like the muscle. So, basically, this future is where this company owns all the water in LA. People are rioting to get more water and stuff, and there's this hotel that's been there for like 22 years, and she only treats criminals.
Mm-hmm.
And then find out that Jeff Goldblum is like the leader of the mafia that runs LA, and he basically funds her clinic.
Interesting.
And so like you watch the trailer and it's like this is like a flat out action movie, and then you watch the movie and it's like, oh, this is like a little bit of action movie.
They got you. They put all the action scenes in the movie, in the trailer.
Pretty much. And then Zachary Quinto plays like his Jeff Goldblum's like youngest son who's like trying to impress his dad.
Yeah.
Like the dad gets shot and so like he's like telling his dad, he's like, look, you know, if you don't make it, you know, like I just want to make you proud of me and I'm gonna do whatever I have to and I just wanna earn your respect. And Jeff Goldblum's like, yeah, that's why you've always been soft, man. You're kind of a pussy. But I mean, it's a good movie. There's a lot of interesting twists. Charlie Day's in it. Mm. Of course, funny.
Of course, you gotta have a little bit of humor in it.
Yes, he plays like an arms dealer. I mean, it's a good movie. I recommend watching it, mm-hmm. but it's just not a full on like action. Like, it's not John Wick.
Gotcha.
Even though that trailer portrayed it to be.
Fair enough.
And then another movie I watched is Patient Zero. This one, the main stars are Matt Smith, former Doctor Who,
mm-hmm.
and Natalie Dormer, former Game of Throneser. Do you know who she is?
I'm trying to remember which one she is.
She's the hot blonde that I can... it's funny because this movie is set in the U.S., but almost everybody in the movie is, like, British.
Oh, really?
Yes. And so there's this, like, outbreak of, like, rabies, basically, that almost kind of turns people into just, like, angry rage monsters.
Mm-hmm.
And so they're in this underground facility trying to find a cure. And Matt Smith's character, like, got bit but didn't fully transform so he could speak to them. And so then at some point, Stanley Tucci comes in and he's like an intelligent version of them. And so at some point it kind of almost turns into a Silence of the Lambs type thing where they're just kind of like facing off against each other, like trying to mentally outwit each other.
Mm-hmm.
It's an interesting story. It's short, so that's good. And she played Marguerite Tyrell in Game of Thrones.
Yeah, no, I looked it up. I know who you're talking about.
Yeah, and she also
definitely easy on the eyes.
She also like played like the one thing that like I can honestly say that I was disappointed about in the new Star Wars trilogy. She was Captain Phasma.
Oh, in the newest one or the?
Oh no, not her. Actually, no, it wasn't her. I'm sorry. I knew it was somebody from Game of Thrones, but it's not her.
I was going to say, I was like, I don't remember her in Star Wars, but then again, I haven't seen the last one, so.
No, but you didn't see, but Captain Phasma was the one in the silver armor, so you never saw her face.
Yes, I know who you're talking about, though. No, it's the other girl. No, I know who you're talking about. Because I remember when she was, like, speaking, I was like, oh, yep, that's her.
Right, but they cast her because she was like badass, and then she didn't do anything badass. She did zero badassery and Star Wars.
No, she didn't.
Gwendolyn Christie.
Yeah, it was all like name and just like she's gonna sound tough and she's like, you know, the commander, and they're gonna tell like stories about how the commander's a badass, and it was kind of like that was it.
Yeah. Like, they definitely did a tell-don't-show with that character. But there's, like, one point with Natalie Dormer where she kind of, like, shaved one of the sides of her head.
Mm-hmm.
Man. Not that she cares. And I'm sure my wife doesn't want me to say it either, but I'm going to say it anyways. But, like, that hair looks really, like, hot. Like, makes her look even better. I don't know. I'm sure there's some dudes that will be like, that's like, she's going full lesbian with that haircut.
True.
But I don't know.
Man.
But yeah, so Patient Zero, it's a kind of a new take on a zombie movie, even though they're not necessarily zombies; they're just like rabies rage monsters.
Mm-hmm.
And then finally, I watched Happy Time Murders.
You finally came around to watching that one.
I finally was able to get it on the DVD from Netflix, Sean.
Wow. I'm surprised it took so long.
Well, I think it was just like kept getting bumped down from other things that were being released.
Gotcha.
So it's more a thing of my fault, not the movie's fault, because it'd been out on DVD for a while.
Yeah.
And as I was watching it, like when I saw some of the names pop up, I looked into it. It's like, dude, this is basically completely made by Henson people.
Mm-hmm.
Like, Brian Henson, the grandson or son or whatever, like, wrote and directed it.
Yeah, it's definitely the adult Muppet movie.
But it's literally made by people who did Muppets. It's not like...
I know, that's why I said that.
It's not like it's like Seth Rogen and Jay Baruchel and all them making it. Like, the voice actors, it's like they did, you know, a prostitute and Grover. You know the one scene that they showed in the trailer where he's like jizzing everywhere?
Yeah.
It was still funny when I saw it in the movie.
Yeah, it's pretty ridiculous. Did you see the movie? I have seen the movie.
Okay. Melissa McCarthy, dude, this role was perfect for her. Yeah, like,
she was tolerable in this movie.
I thought she was like perfect. I mean, as far as any compared to other movies that she's done, where it's like maybe not so much.
Yeah. I feel like she's like every other comedy person, where she like you're funny for a couple movies, but then it's like you're done. Like I can't. Right. Like I can't stand you anymore.
We're used to you.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know, man. Like, the story, like, they even threw the Silence of the Lambs reference. I mean, the Silence of the Lambs. I can't think of the name of the movie now, with Sharon Stone. That was, like, a big deal where she, like, spread her legs in the interrogation room with Michael Douglas.
I can't remember.
Basic Instinct.
Oh, yeah.
Basic Instinct. You know what's funny? Like, I listen to other podcasts, and they're talking about something, and they're like, yeah, I don't know. I don't remember what it is. And in my head, I'm like, I know exactly what it is. And then a friend of the show, Solid Snack, has been doing that to us. Like, texting, it's like, why do you keep saying that this guy was Matt Damon when it's obviously not Matt Damon? And I'm like, I don't know, dude, because I'm an idiot and I really like Matt Damon.
Matt Damon.
Matt Damon. Oh, man. But yeah, I mean, it's a lot better than I thought it would be, because I went into it with, like, very low expectations. And I just thought, you know, and reading the reviews on it, they're like, you know, talking about how, like, Brian Henson has, like, you know, Jim Henson is, like, rolling in his grave because of the shame that Brian Henson brought on the family, and how dare they, like, just make this smut-filled movie. And so many of them, it's like, I just turned this movie off after 30 minutes or 10 minutes. I couldn't handle it. And it's like, it actually got, like, the beginning is, like, shock value.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of stuff there just for pure shock value, but it actually has like a good story, you know.
Yeah,
it's not just, you know, excuses to have, you know, silly string jizz thrown all over. And then when Joel McHale shows up as the FBI agent.
I think that's a little, I mean, it is a pretty like raunchy movie, so if you don't like raunchy movies, like, of course you're not going to enjoy the movie. But I thought overall it was actually pretty funny.
I mean, it advertised and marketed itself completely as being a raunchy movie. I don't know where people got the idea that it may not be.
I know, that's just true. Especially anything that has to have a red trailer. Like, come on.
Yeah. There's a Red Band trailer, and the Red Band trailer is just silly string jizz everywhere. Which, that's just fun to say. I mean, those are like words you'd never thought you'd get to combine together in like in a complete sentence.
Yeah, exactly.
Silly string jizz. See? Just saying it makes you laugh.
Pretty much, man. All right, everybody, that's it for today's show. Thank you for stopping by and listening. Make sure you follow us on Podbean, Facebook, Instagram, Stitcher, iTunes. You can see what we're drinking on the good old Untappd. So many places. Make sure you're giving us a good old rating. Help us in a comment saying how fantastic this show is. You could lie. We're okay with that.
My wife lies all the time, and so does my mom. She says she loves me, and I'm not a disappointment. Oh, quick. My oldest nephew just turned 21 yesterday.
Oh, boy.
So, I, you know...
What a terrible time to turn 21.
I know, right? But I sent him in his birthday text, I sent him, like, solid advice of drink water and take 2 Excedrin before you go to bed.
And you'll never go wrong.
No, I mean, unless you're like beyond the point of saving, but.
And eat Jack in a Box or Del Taco before you go to bed.
Yeah, greasy foods are your friends. Yeah, it's funny. We've gotten one more like rating, but we have no more written reviews. We have 8 5-star reviews. But no but only the same two, like, people writing things.
It's okay.
It's still better than zero.
We're number one. We're number one. Somewhere. In some alternate universe.
Yeah. Again, like I said, my mom lies and says I'm cool.
Hopefully your mom thinks you're cool in real life. We'll catch you next time, everybody.
Later.